Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Hey, this is Blair Nash and Ted Santos from Blog Talk Radio. Hope everyone is doing well today. Ted, are you there?
I am here, loud and clear.
Good, good. Had a couple technical issues and everything, but we are up and running and all well. Ted, how are you doing today, man?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well, and thank you, everyone, friends and family, for joining us. We have a very interesting topic, Blair. I think this is one of those topics that's going to help us understand really the difference between men and women and either why they make things work or why they're having such a difficult time making things work. So I think this is going to be exciting. We might even get a little controversial, as we've done in the past. So I guess no one should be surprised. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, you know, this you know how this show is. We'll always be controversial, so it is what it is.
So, how's your week, man? How's everything?
Hey, my week was pretty good. Starting some new projects, so life is looking good.
Okay, cool.
And
cool.
Yours? How about yours?
Man, I mean, not bad, actually, not bad. You know, just always needing extra time, but, you know, that's life. Who doesn't need extra time? So,
well,
yeah, but everything is good. No complaints.
Cool. So we're going to find out. I think people need a lot of extra something, and some of them are not getting it. So I don't know if it's love, it's money, if it's affection. Hell, I've even heard women say they need a little more sex. Not the men, that's a woman saying it. So tonight we're going to talk about, do you need more than love to create a great relationship? So we're not going to be talking about a relationship where you're just together. We want to talk about creating a great relationship. And I'm going to assert tonight we're going to put together some building blocks where people can actually walk away with a new perspective on what that takes. And I won't say what my thoughts are. I want to hear from the callers, like the ladies and the men, to call in. And I think this is one of those topics that will be really good for people of all ages. So I think people kind of have preconceived notions, and Hollywood has done a great job of painting what love is, and that may be one of the biggest problems between Hollywood and fairy tales. In the last write-up, I wrote something about, you know, all of our societies filled with messages about love. You know, we have songs that we hear about love conquers all, and the Beatles even sung All You Need Is Love, and even fairy tales. Hell, Snow White had a spell, some prince kisses her, and he breaks the spell of death. I mean, you know, love.
The Beatles
love,
have a
love.
Song about All You Need Is Love.
All you need is love. Dun, 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 dun.
Is that how you sing it? How you sing it? I'm going to ask you to sing it. You did too. I'm surprised, man.
So I'm not looking for a singing contract.
Okay. I was going to put you on the spot, and you went ahead and did it. I'm like, yeah, all right. So let's do it. Let's do kind of a slight diversion. You know, as you know, for anyone that's just kind of the first time listening to us, one of the things that a lot of you may not know is that Ted and I started this whole process and journey back in, I think, June or July. And essentially what we do is we came up with,
we contacted in July. It was mid-July.
Okay. And what we did is we shot around a lot of different ideas and just, you know, of course we talked philosophy. We understood that our philosophies were pretty much in line with one another and everything, of course, which is one of the reasons why we began the show. Let me just kind of ask you a question. What this particular topic, where did you kind of come up with that? I know we talk about a lot of different things and a lot of different, you know, this is kind of, you know, what we're going to speak about this week. What was your thought process in coming up with this? What were you thinking?
Well, I think about last week we talked about red flags, right? And the mm-hmm. what I found incredible, and I know we ended the show, we ran out of time, and we still had callers on the line. And once again, I'll say to everyone, I apologize if we didn't get to your call. We are always working hard to make sure we can get input from everyone. This show is about you. We've put this together, but I put this together because if you look at last week, we didn't hear from not one woman when we talked about red flags. And so this is a show made for men by men. And part of what was behind me putting this together is we hear so much that men bottle everything up. They won't talk about anything. All men want is sex. So I want to kill that myth. And we have topics that are designed to educate men and give them another perspective on relationships and women. And part of the way we do that is have women call also. But men do talk about love, and men do talk about what else is required to create a relationship. And so, you know, you and I, like you said, we've spoken about a lot of topics, and they're between us. We probably can just go on forever with different topics. But just uh-huh. talking about red flags, I wondered if we alienated women. It wasn't our intent, but I think women benefited greatly by hearing what are the things that men look for. So this week I wanted a show that would be about more on building. So what does it take to create, to build? Last week was really about all the things that you don't want, and this week I'd like it to be about things you do want. So sort of a balance, you know.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
That's what was behind it.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, that's real good stuff. Give me a second. I'm gonna try to take. We have a couple calls waiting. I'm gonna try to go to them and see if we can grab one of the calls and everything before we kind of get going with the show. Hold the line just a second.
Hey, Blair, I'm just going to say that I'm going to say the number for everyone. If you're listening on your computer and you'd like to call in, the phone number is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. And we have some people who call in consistently. We definitely love to hear you on this topic. And ladies, man, we really want to hear what you think about this topic. So, and men, this is your show. This is your platform. We need you to help ladies to understand. And for the younger guys who may just be venturing into this world of love in their early 20s, we have an opportunity to educate them and so that they have more tools than some of us did going into it.
Right. So. Absolutely. Let me get the number one more time. It's here we go, 323-642-1387. I just want to say to the callers that do call me, because like you mentioned, we didn't get to everybody last week, please, you know, just be patient. Promise we're going to get to everybody, and, you know, we will definitely get to you. So, just hold the line, even if it's for a few minutes. We promise we're going to get to your call. So let's try the first call, area code 614. 614, that's my area code. Go right ahead. Area code 614. Going once.
Okay. So they just want to listen. They're just listening.
Possibly. All right. So let's go to the next one in line. We have area code 732. 732, are you with me?
Oh, that's
yeah,
my
I'm
name
here.
Woods.
Hey, that's awesome. Right. What's up?
Is this
hey,
Van?
Van? Yep.
Hey, what's going on? You calling us
hey,
back?
Hey, I'm here.
So what do you think about this topic? Tell me what you think
it's
about
pretty
this
cool.
topic, Van.
Yeah, it's good.
All
it's
right?
good. I want to learn. I'm still in the education. I need an education class here.
Okay. So tell us, do you think love is enough to make a relationship work? Do you think that's enough?
Is love enough?
Yeah, the question.
Sure, if the guy loves the girl, it's good. But I mean, you need 50-50 both ways.
So let's say
I don't
you have
think
love both ways.
Going to be 50-50. There's never going to be a relationship that's 50-50. I said a relationship.
No, well, I guess I'm not getting one. Yeah, you're supposed to be partners.
Okay. So let's suppose that you have 50-50 love. You think that's enough to create a great relationship?
Yep. If you're both working hard for it, but you both put 100% in and you're
done. You're breaking
now
up.
Now I'm talking. What?
So you broke up a bit. So you said if you're both working hard and putting in 100%, so what's the 100%? Is it just love that you have to put in to work hard?
No, you got to work. You know, you need
so
money.
Tell me, what else,
what else do you need?
What else do you need aside from love then? Tell me that.
Food, gasoline, a roof over your head, the basic things of life, and then everything else will fall in place.
Now, who's responsible for making sure of those? Because all those things cost money.
I think the man
so.
And the woman have to do it today. The cost of living is a lot more expensive today.
Okay. So what if you met a woman who said she didn't want to work, she wanted to stay at home? Do you think that
would
work?
Well, then she's not going to be with me. unless I make a couple million, and then I can, take the slack. But I'll still work.
Okay.
I'll work probably after I'm dead.
Right. So love and money. So you think love and money is what it takes to create a relationship? Is that what you're saying?
Attraction. You got to be attracted.
Okay. Attraction.
What's your name again, sir?
That's a chemical.
Okay.
What's his name, Ted?
He goes by Van, but he's Robert Ellis. It's Robert.
Okay. Van, where are you calling from, sir?
Toms River, New Jersey.
You're in New Jersey. Okay, cool. Van, I just want to say thank you for your call. We got to get to some more callers. We already have about six callers.
Hey,
have
a good night, and have a happy holiday.
Hey, same to you, Van.
All right,
Take care.
Hey, good talking to you, Ted. Bye.
Same to you. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Van, for calling in. Let's go to our next caller. We are going to go to area code 848. 848. Give me just a second, 848, before I put you on live. Again, the number is 323-642-1387. Again, that number is 323-642-1387. We promise we're going to get to your calls. If you can just hold the line for just a moment. Now, we're going to go to area code 848. 848, you are live and on the air.
Dwayne.
Hey, this is Dwayne.
How you doing there?
What's going on?
Well,
right.
I'm going to speak based on my experience. I can't speak for other people, as far as like relationship and I've been married now for 20 years, maybe 21, but we've been together longer, a lot longer. I lost count, but anyway, it works both ways, 100%. You have to give 100%, I know like with us, when we first started dating, it wasn't about love, eventually it ended up turning into love, and the thing is, if whatever decision you make, like, she makes the decision in the household. She's in charge of paying the bills. I don't want anything to do with the bills, so if she complains about bills, I don't want to hear it, but the thing is, we can tolerate that. Some people, what they do is they say, well, my money is mine and hers is hers, or we put it together, but I keep a secret stash, she keeps a secret stash. For me, that's separation. You're already setting yourself up to fail. It should be 100%. Whatever I make, she knows. Whatever she makes, I know, we put everything together. And the thing is with us is I'm cheap when it comes down to me, She doesn't like if I go to Payless and buy some cheap shoes. She'll go out and buy me, she'll go out and buy name brands and stuff. And then when it comes down to her, she's cheap. but I'll spend money on her, you know? So,
So Dwayne, so the last guy who called, he said basically with money and love, is that to have a great relationship, do you think?
No,
because
you can have
that.
You can have money and not be happy. I got friends that got money and they're not even happy. They're separated,
okay.
Divorced. We would look up to them and like they had it together. You know, beautiful house. You know, and they're separated. You know.
So do you think? So what more than love do you need? Love and money. So far, that's the theme tonight. What else do you need?
Sir,
what's your name again? I'm sorry.
Dwayne.
Dwayne, and you're calling from where again?
I'm calling from New Jersey.
New Jersey, okay. Just make sure. Go right here with you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Give me your full name, Dwayne.
Oh, Dwayne Santos.
Dwayne Santos. Oh, Lord.
That's right.
Okay.
That's it, you know. Yeah, and I think you know, like my wife, we you have to have a sense of humor too, you know. Also in the relationship,
right.
You need.
Well,
it's not just humor.
You over there buying cheap shoes, Dwayne.
Right, and my wife gets mad at me because she said I used to spend more money on the kids' shoes than my shoes, and then I'm wondering how come my shoes only last a week or so. So she had to go out and. Kind of dress me up and everything. Like, no, you can't be looking like a hobo, you know. And
right.
I feel the same way.
Dwayne walking through puddles and his shoes come right apart and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Dwayne, there's something else I hear you saying. You didn't say the word, but it sounds like it's this thing of trust. So when it comes to money, there has to be this trust. So whatever. Everything I have when it comes to finances, we both put it on the table. We're not hiding anything. We're not, and I don't want to have to check behind you to see if you are hiding something. So we're just doing this together, right? I know what you make. You know what I make. You take care of the bills, the house, and I'm going to take care of these other things. So trust, love, money. Can you have a great relationship without love then?
Well, I don't think you could. I know for me, you know, it wouldn't work out. You know, I need to love the person. You know, it's like if I'm gonna bring you home, that's because I have feelings for you. If I don't have feelings for you, I'm not bringing you home. You're not gonna meet my parents. And I don't want to meet your parents. That doesn't mean I want to meet your parents. I don't want to meet them. So there's a difference there, you know.
Gotcha. So
if a guy doesn't introduce you to the family, he may not have feelings for you.
Right.
So what if you have lots of love? What if you have lots of love and no money? Can that work?
It would be kind of. I think it would be hard. It depends on the woman, you know, if she truly loves this man because he's not making. No money, whatever the circumstance. It can be a bad circumstance where this guy probably he's a good man, good, and he could be a good provider, but he just got into a situation where, let's say, he got locked up, and now today, you know, like they're talking about doing away with that question: have you ever been convicted?
Disclosing, right.
So maybe he can't get that job. He has the talent and how you call it?
The ambition.
The ambition to do the job, but they won't give him, society won't give him the chance. So it all depends, you know, on the situation there, you know. But if he's a good man, then, you know, it could work. I'm not going to say it can't, but I say it could. It depends on that woman, you know, how she feels.
Cool. Wayne, I do thank you for your time and thank you for all your comments. Enjoy the rest of the show. We're going to move on to a couple of other callers.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Dwayne.
All right.
And that's Dwayne calling, and you said he's from New Jersey, right?
He is a Jersey boy, just like me.
Okay. Awesome, cool. Okay, so we're going to move to another caller. caller, area code 614. 614, are you there?
That might be me. Eugene Johnson?
Hey, Eugene.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hello. Can you hear me? Awesome.
Yes, sir.
Good. Eugene, where are you calling from?
I am calling from Chicago.
Hey, Chicago, look.
All right, cool.
Yep, by
hey,
way of New York, through Columbus, Ohio, now Chicago. That's correct.
Okay, very cool. You're a traveling man, huh?
Yes, sir. Got to go where the money's at.
Yeah.
You so what do you think of this? Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, let me just say, do you need more than love to create a great relationship? We talked with a few other callers who kind of weighed in and gave their input and everything. What are your thoughts? I mean, when you talk with them, let me say like this. Let me preface it by saying this. When you speak with most people, they kind of want to say, well, love is all you need. They make songs about it. You know, that they would have you believe in movies that love will conquer all and it trumps pretty
right.
much everything. It's not saying that love is not important, but do you feel that you need anything more than love to create a great relationship, or do you feel that, you know what, no matter what, if you lose your job, home, you know, everything, that love will take you through? What are your thoughts?
Well, I've experienced the low side of that, and
okay.
I would have to say, yeah, I'd agree that love can conquer all. You know, if the woman is fully vested and she's in it wholeheartedly, yeah, it can conquer all. Because I went through 13 years of struggle. I mean, the struggle was real. You know, I left New York, a good job in New York, and basically relocated for this woman that I'm married to right now. And kind of just fumbled around for 13 years, never really had a job or a good job, never really settled in, had a business that failed. You know, and this woman stuck with me all through that time. So it was love, trust, you know, it was a lot more than money, I tell you that. So it had to be more of love if anything else, you know. But she seen my ambition. She knew, you know, what I was capable of doing. But like the previous caller said, you know, you could just some places you go, you just can't take root. You know, you can't get a good job, things aren't working out, things aren't clicking. You know, and that's probably why I'm in Chicago now. Well, that's most definitely why I'm in Chicago now, because, you know, it's where I follow the dollar. So I couldn't make it in where I was living before once I left New York. So I got a good job in Chicago. We moved to Chicago, and everything's been great ever since. But it was 13 years for me to get to that point.
So, and the two
so
of
we survived
off
love and trust, and, you know, the woman believed in me. I left New York for her. You know, so she's seen that I was committed to the relationship. And it took us a long way, actually. It got us through the tough times.
Wow. Are you still together?
We are still together 21 years. We've been married 15
years. Yeah. I love that. I like hearing these kind of stories because, you know, so many times in talking, having these conversations, we beat the drum of, you know, these, you know, women won't stick it out. The moment, the second you talk about you don't have a job, she's looking at you sideways and everything else. And that may be part of, you know, there might be some truth to that. But for the most part,
there's a lot of truth to it. A lot of truth to it in my case.
Yeah.
Let me say this. It wasn't like she was just making like 25,000-30,000. She was way in six figures. And
okay.
I wasn't making $30,000-$40,000. Now, you're talking a span of 13 years, bro.
This
brother,
that's a long time.
Yeah. Because you were just really trying to get your footing or whatever. Because I think a lot of times the perception out there is that, you know, well, he ain't really trying to really do nothing. It's like, no, I'm really trying to figure this out, and I'm trying to understand kind of how this thing works. And that, to a person who doesn't understand how black men's minds think and how we see things in our perspective, it may be seen as, well, he ain't really trying to get it in like I'm getting it in. Here I am pulling down 80, 90, 100 grand plus, and here he is, you know, barely scraping by, you know, and could barely take me out for a hamburger at the end of the weekend. And so this is where a lot of sisters get frustrated because they're like, I'm doing big things out here, brother. You know, I just, you know, I'm full sprint running out here. I need you to catch up with me. Did you ever feel any of that was going on or whatever? What was your experience? What was your thoughts on that?
Well, I left New York. I had a job that I could stay in for the rest of my life in New York. I left New York, and I'm a degreed person. Had a master's degree when I left New York. Went to another area, Ohio. You guys know of Ohio. Anyway,
you ain't gonna be talking my city. You know,
it is what it is, man. I mean, you know, sometimes you can move from one place where you've been there your whole life. You know how the city functions. You know how to walk and talk. And you know the lay of the land. And then you pick up and you move to another territory, and you're just not in sync with what's going on. You know,
right.
And sometimes it might work out. It may take a long time for it to work out, and then it may never work out. You know.
Yeah.
So
you're just trying to get your legs up under you.
Right. It never really worked out. You know. And
right.
I gave it my best, and you know, and I had the degrees and stuff like that. And then you know, a lot of cities are white collar. You know, different cities are blue collar. Like I come from a blue collar city, basically. And Ohio is, you know, where I was, it wasn't really blue collar. So it was more or less, you know, if you had a white collar job, because most women have white collar jobs, right? I mean, back in the day, they went from typing and filing, and then when computers came into play, data processing and other jobs that they do became big money.
Right.
So
whereas
brothers,
if you're blue collar, blue-collar salaries in the Midwest or what have you are not really making big money, like in the city, like in New York, because New York's a blue-collar city. You know,
mm-hmm.
you don't have
your
to have
name,
a college degree. If you take a –
your name is Eugene, right?
That's correct.
But Eugene, I want to ask you, so, I mean, 13 years, that could be a long time, right? Like, most marriages don't even make it that long.
It's
right?
not a lucky number,
so,
right?
Right. Well, it was for you, right? Because that was your move after 13. So the question is, and what Blair was saying was some women may be like, you know, this guy is not really putting in the effort. You know, 1, 2, 5 years goes by, it's still, you know, you're not doing it. You're not knocking the ball out the park, right? So
right, exactly.
At some point, there must have been, I mean, what was going on? With you, like,
we had our trials. Believe me, I left a couple positions, just walked off of one job, and I'm pretty sure she felt that way, at one time or the other. It's not like I said, the struggle was real. It wasn't like it was easy, you know.
So
and her friends were giving her pressure about me, you know.
Right.
You know how
right.
when your brother ain't got no job, you get
right.
that special
this,
name.
This,
you don't
this
even
what,
have your
it?
First name. You get that other name.
So this,
they make songs about that kind of stuff.
So Eugene, that's what I'm after. So what do you think? See now what you're talking. This is more than love. This is more than money. This is because trust may have run out. Her friends are saying, "Hey, you got to cut the cord on this guy." Like, what do you think? What were the elements that got you to bridge the gap when things really have become tough?
I think she seen that I was truly committed to her, which is the reason I left a lifetime job that I could have stayed in for 30 years or whatever in New York and just picked up and moved to Ohio from New York, which is a big move, you know. And
were in the union. You had a union job that day.
Right. I had a union job, and I could have stayed there and made good money and retired. I'd have been retired 5 years ago.
Okay.
You know, and I could have went out, you know, when you retire in New York from a union job, you're still getting paid.
Right.
And I had one of them jobs, you make whatever, half of what you made the last year is what you retired on.
Okay.
So
you
that
could have done
been,
well.
I could have done well. And she's seen I made the commitment to leave, drop New York, drop this job and come to Ohio. And I was committed to her, you know, and I never gave her any doubt that I wasn't committed to her, you know. So she just stuck with me, man. It's love, it's dedication, it's commitment, you know, and money did not play a part. I'm gonna tell you.
Well, right.
For 13
so wait,
years.
Wait. So that so many people talk about they have commitment problems, right? But what you're saying is commitment is what helped bridge the gap. Like you were highly committed to the relationship, and apparently she
exactly.
was too, because she was getting a lot of pressure. But you must have had some really special kind of communication to ease her fears in the face of her friends whispering in her ear.
I guess, but, you know, it's not, I wouldn't say it was rocket science and I knew what I was doing. You know, we fumbled through, but, you know, I think really I knew that she was the one for me. See, I met my wife in Canada, and I'm going to tell you, I don't know if you guys are spiritual, but I had a dream, and God came to me and told me this is the one.
Okay.
I know that might sound corny.
No,
but this is
no,
what happened. You know,
it's your story.
So, and I believed it. I wholeheartedly felt it, and I went with it, 110%. Most brothers,
that's
yes,
awesome.
They get with women, but they ain't truly committed, and the woman knows it.
Okay,
they know it.
Now,
they know it through your actions. They know it through what you do.
Well, and then there are things that you won't say or do, and that tells you a lot also.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Nice. Cool. That was helpful.
Good stuff. Cool. Jane, I appreciate you calling in. If you want to listen to the rest of the show, feel more than free. And we got a few more callers we want to get to. Thank you very much. And Jane from Chicago, Illinois.
All right. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Great evening. All right, good stuff. You want to keep on to the calls, sir?
Sure. That was a good one. That was a really good one.
Okay, all right, cool.
See if we can get a lady on the line.
I mean, I don't know if they're ladies or not, everything. So we don't know until we.
Yeah, let's
so
be
answer,
nice to
so.
See if a lady. Yep.
Okay, so we're going to go now to area code 205. 205, you're live and on the air. 205.
I'm just listening.
Hello.
I'm just listening.
Oh, you're
just
listening, and I wanted a lady, and there you are.
All right. If you decide you want to have a comment or have a question or anything, let us know, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. So now we're going to go to area code 786. 786, you are live and on the air.
Hey, Blair,
Florida.
That's me. This is Monica McCoy. It is a Florida.
Hey, Monica.
That's correct.
Monica, what's going on, lady?
I'm doing quite fine. How are you doing this evening?
Doing excellent. Doing well. You listening to the show?
Yes, I am. I got in about 7:15-ish.
Okay, cool. What are your thoughts on what you've heard so far?
You know, it sounds like men who are speaking from experience. You know, obviously, I heard two of the guys, Santos's brother, and then the last guy, Eugene. But these are men who, you know, they've been through a marriage. Not through like as in their son, but they've been, yeah, there you go, you know. So they have dealt with the goods and bads, ups and downs. I've never been married, so I can't per se speak on how or, you know, relate to their experiences per se. But as far as the question of do you need more than love to create a great relationship, my opinion, my thought is absolutely. I look at it like this. In order for any relationship to work, it's just – following now, it might sound like a silly analogy, but I believe this to be true. It's just like baking a cake. You have very essential ingredients of cake. You have flour, milk, you know, eggs, sugar, etc., right? You do not make a cake with only eggs. You do not make a cake with only butter. You do not make a cake with only sugar. It takes all of these essential ingredients to make this cake, to make this cake. So for a relationship, while love is a very essential ingredient, one of the essential ingredients, just like the milk is in a cake. You need other essential ingredients. No, love is not all we need. We need more than that. We need compatibility. You know what I'm saying?
Monica, let me ask you a question, then I want to kick it to Ted because I'm sure he has a question as well. I'm sure he wants to weigh in as well.
Okay.
So if you watch any type of movie or listen to, you know, music and everything, everything that is sold to us is love. Love will push you through. You know, it doesn't matter if you're if, you know, if you've been in an accident, if you were out of work, if any, you know, if you were unfaithful to your mate, or, you know, it doesn't matter. Your love will push you through. Where do we get that from? Because pretty much every woman I've ever talked to is like, no, it's got to be more than love. It's, you know, love ain't going to be the only thing. Where do we get this idea that love is just the only thing that you need in a relationship? Where does that come from?
I think it comes from the fact that love is an emotion. And as, you know, as humans, we tend to express ourselves emotionally. I know it's often said that women are more emotional creatures than men, which generally speaking is true. However, men have emotions too. I mean, you know, most you know, anger is an emotion. You know what I'm saying? They say women, like I have a friend who says he doesn't believe women should own guns because, oh, we're too emotional. But who commits most crimes related with guns? I think those are men. So emotions
right.
are very
oh, yeah.
important.
Are
we all experience emotions.
Emotions.
Some, right. So when you know, we all experience emotions in one shape or form. So one way, shape or form, sorry. So I think it's because love is an emotion, and we're taught love, most of us, from birth. You know, love is that pinnacle emotion that makes a great part of the human experience. And people have this mindset, you should love me unconditionally. You should love me with ups and downs, which in some cases are true. But if your behind is out there beating and cheating on me, I can still love you, but I don't have to still be with you. Like, we're not, sticking around
right.
for this. But it's that mindset of, you know, because love is an emotion, let's tell you that, no, you cannot build a relationship off of one important building block alone. It's not going to work with just love alone, in my opinion. Well, love is important. Love is, but you cannot build a relationship without love either. Love is a requirement for a successful relationship to be successful. So, one thing I'm kind of love out. It's in there.
Ted,
it's not the only
what
thing.
What do you think? You agree, disagree? What's your thought, man?
I have a question for Monica. Monica, are you familiar with the love drug?
The love drug? No, I'm not.
Okay. It's your body produces it. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Gosh, is it serotonin? Is it
in that direction, sort of... right? So you're talking neurochemistry, right? So
okay. There's a
neurochemical called oxytocin. And
oxytocin, okay, yeah.
Right. that is the bonding chemical. So women
absolutely for women especially,
women,
yeah.
Right. Women secrete significantly more oxytocin. Now, when you get pregnant, your oxytocin levels goes to the ceiling. And when you breastfeed, they go even higher.
Right.
So, and that has you bond. That's the neurochemical that has you bond with your baby. And it's not that men don't bond with their children, but your brain, the neurobiology of your body and brain is telling you bond with this baby, you know, and you can't even help it. Now the same thing happens when a man and woman come together. You secrete significantly more, and your brain is telling you bond with this man. And when you make love, you know, your oxytocin levels go up. Now we secrete
right.
oxytocin, but we don't secrete nearly as much as yours, and testosterone can block the flow of oxytocin. So, you know, there are so many ways that men could end up not having that bonding feeling. But it's almost like a drug for human beings. It's the feel-good neurochemistry. You then sometimes wonder, is it like this neurochemistry that's like a drug that we love feeling? Or is it really love?
You know, I think it's a combination of both. I've learned is a lot of times human beings, we're addicted to the feelings that keep us disappointed. We're addicted to feeling, you know, we will create sometimes certain situations so that we stay. We'll create certain scenarios so that we stay in a certain situation because we're addicted to a certain feeling.
Okay.
I know that's not in the direction of love, but I'm just saying as far as how you're talking about, you know, producing this chemical and getting a certain feeling off of it. But one thing my pastor said about a month ago that I never forgot is he said when it comes to emotions, you have to remember emotions have no intelligence. So what I got from that is if you make primarily most of your decisions off of emotions, Yeah, it's not a good look. That doesn't mean do not be ever emotional, because we're still human. We still love, we still laugh, we still cry, you know, still feel sympathy, all that stuff, you know, all that jazz. But if you're primarily making your decision, like, this man, you know, is cheating on you, he's no good for you, not a good leader, whatever it is, but I love him. Okay, but, like, need to open your eyes and make rational decisions and see, you might love this man, but this is not a healthy relationship for you to be in.
So, Monica, let's put cheating aside. Help me understand from your perspective as a woman, if you're saying if you only make decisions based on love, that may not be in your best interest. So, you may not know this, and I can tell you not all men cheat, okay? So we can't categorize cheating as being a quality that all men have.
I wasn't saying all men were cheating.
Stay with me. I never said you said that.
Okay.
Stay with me.
All right.
I want to know, right, what else do you think it takes to create a great relationship? If love is the flower and you need eggs and sugar and butter and all these other things, what are the other things that you need? And I'm asking you to tell me as a woman what you think those other things are.
All right. It takes, among other things, trust. It takes communication. It takes compatibility. It takes similar morals and values of, you know, two people. And I have to like you. I can love you and not like you, and vice versa. But before I love you, I have to actually like you as a person. And that might sound a little crazy, but I have to actually, like, legitimately like you for you, as opposed to, I just fell in love with you because of this chemical, you know, because of oxytocin being secreted from my gland. But,
your oxytocin could secrete because you had great sex and you may not like the person.
There you go. So
right.
Which is one reason why you shouldn't be, you know, soul tying with everybody. But that's another story for another day.
So what? How do you know if you're not compatible with someone?
You have to invest time with them, if you choose to.
Well, no, I didn't ask how do you know if you are. How do you know if you're not compatible?
Sure, I invest a little time in that person, and you know, a certain vibe I might get, or I start to see certain patterns.
And that tells you that you are not compatible?
That could be one way. I mean, I'm not saying that's, like, the only way. I'm just, you know, right off the top of my head, but you have to spend time with that person. Some type of time, you know, where you want to get to know them. Oh, okay, well, let me go out. I noticed, you know, you observe them. You observe them. You see how, like I said, about habits. You see certain habits that they have or don't have.
Right. So
you
got to
see if they align up with your morals and values.
Okay, good. So how do you know?
Hey, Monica. Hey, Ted. I want to hold Monica on the line and everything, but I want to get to another caller real quick. Can you stay with us for just a minute?
Sure. Perfect.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, cool. I'm going to go to area code 718 area code. You are live and on the air.
New York.
Yes, this is Anita Martin.
Hello, Anita.
Anita Martin, how are you?
It's Dr. Martin. I am great today.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Martin. How are you, ma'am?
Yeah. Very good. I've been listening to your radio show. It's really great. I like the way
it's going.
And I just want to make that comment. But I want to answer the question, do you need more than love to create a great relationship? And I think love is all you need if you define what your love is for each other. As Monica was saying, there are some things, trust. I think the two people have to define it between themselves, because there's all different types of loves out here. But a good relationship, a good love relationship, is to me a great friendship with mutual respect, mutual trust, love, commitment, standing behind each other. I think everybody kind of wants something like that.
Let me ask you a question, Mrs. Martin. Mrs. Martin, thank you very much for calling in. I greatly appreciate it. Let me ask you a question. You kind of gave a couple things. You said trust, commitment. There's a couple of them I'm leaving out. Is that like your top five? Is that your top five, I would say? What would you say your top five is? I'm asking for a reason.
I would say those are my top five. The same thing that I would have in a love relationship with a lover is pretty similar that I would have in a friendship. Those things would make a big difference to me.
Okay.
Well,
so
how do you know the difference?
Sex.
That's pretty clear.
Sex is important.
Well,
sex would create the difference between maybe a friendship and a love relationship. It would be sex.
Right.
Commitment.
I thought you were just like saying sex. I was like, okay, well, that's okay. Yeah, sex. Okay. So you were saying sex is part of that.
It's the difference that I'd see between a friendship and a love relationship, like a marriage or a boyfriend and girlfriend or girl, or boy. Sex, that would be the difference.
Okay. So you mentioned that in your top five. I noticed in your top five you mentioned nothing whatsoever about finances and resources. Was that deliberate or was that just kind of an omission or what?
Well, right now I'm just studying the book, The Millionaire Next Door, and what from my understand about that, you know, most millionaires that you find that they're are in long-term love relationships. So I think that it creates an opportunity for you to build wealth when you have a great relationship. You don't break apart. You don't have to separate households. You don't have to seek a new apartment. You don't have to buy a new sofa for your apartment now. You keep the wealth between you and you build the wealth.
So you're saying that a person doesn't necessarily have to come into the relationship already having tangible resources. The person, you two of you can come in with nothing, man and woman, and you can build together. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes, or one can have more than the other, and between you two, you could really expand your wealth exponentially through great communication and planning and commitment.
I would love to hear what Monica has to say about that. Monica, are you still there with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What are your thoughts on that? Dr. Martin mentioned that resources are not really all that necessary since it's coming to the relationship.
The type of resources and the amount, of course, is all relative to those particular people. For example, a person can say, I make good money, but that's relative. Good money, you know, could be $50,000 to somebody. For one person, that could be a whole lot of money.
Right.
And to someone, that could be nothing. For me, this is how I feel. And I know feeling expresses emotion, which is cool, but this is how I feel and think. I am 36 years old, and what I will not do is be in a relationship with a man who is, well, baby, you know, please date me for my potential because I told you I wanted to do these type of plans. In my 20s, we can do struggle love because we're both just getting started out in life. Now, I'm not saying you need to be making a certain amount by your 30s or 40s or whatever, but right now where I am in my life, meaning like my age, 36, as opposed to 20, I don't want to do struggle love from the jump. That doesn't mean, oh, the guy has to make the exact dollar amount as me. As a matter of fact, my ex-boyfriend makes significantly less than me, and I knew that before we got into the relationship, and I decided to enter the relationship with him anyway. But if you as a man, as an adult, but I'm going to say more so as a man, cannot do, like, you know, basic foundational things like have a roof over your head, being able to pay your own bills, things like that, it's very unattractive, and it's a mental turnoff to me. That doesn't mean you have to have all your ducks in a row to be with me, because ain't nobody perfect. We all got our shortcomings and stuff. But certain foundational things, at this age of mine, you need to have certain. Me and me too. Let me say that. So I'm not saying you need to have ABC in place, and I don't even know what the letter A is. You know what I'm saying? I got to have my stuff in order, too.
Okay,
yeah,
all right, cool.
Monica, wait one second.
Monica, there was a guy who just called, and he said for 13 years he struggled, like he didn't do anything and his wife did well. Would you have allowed that yourself to remain in that marriage?
I would have to know the whole story, and I don't. And I heard what he said. Of course, we're not going to all know the whole story in a 5-10 minute conversation here. But I would have to, like, and I understand in his case, he left his job for her. So when I heard him speak, I was like, you know, again, I don't know the whole story. Well, why didn't she move to New York with him? Why did he have to leave his good paying job? I don't know the whole story there.
Right.
So to me, it sounds like if he had a really good job, she should have moved with him to New York. But I don't know why she didn't. I don't know why they made the decision.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe he moved there because maybe she had she was making more the lion's share of the income. So it makes sense that he moved to where she's at. It's my theory.
Right. Right. Exactly. She had an offer.
And I know he did say. Oh, you know, she has always made more, or I don't know about always, but she has been making more than him. Again, I don't know the whole story. I mean, from the surface, it's like, wow, you know, 13 years. I mean, I don't know if he had like odd jobs in the 13 years. I don't know if he had steady. I don't know the whole story. I mean, I would think for 13 years, I think he said he had a degree. So, and we all know a degree nowadays does not mean you're automatically going to get a well-paying job.
Well, he said he had a master's. He has an advanced degree also. So.
Okay, so graduate level degree. So
Dr. Martin, I want to come back to you real quick. Are you still there with us?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. I wanted you to go, you know, what were your thoughts? I just wanted you to go forward with what you were saying, but I did want to kind of bring Monica in for kind of her thoughts and everything.
I don't think the money would make a big difference in the commitment. You know, I've seen some friends have long-term relationships, and, you know, I've asked them this question. This is a question that is just perplexing to me sometimes. If your partner or your love partner had a serious health condition, because I think money is just replaceable, but health is something that sometimes can't be corrected, would you stay with them? And the ones that I find the ones in a very strong relationship, they approach that question as though that's a no-brainer for us. I'm not going anywhere. If they get sick, I'm going to be there. And that's the ultimate question that I defined as being committed and in love and in a relationship in terms of health values or changes. Would that make you leave? Would it make you stay? Would it make you help more? I mean, when you get to that kind of commitment, I mean, I find that as a very deep person, maybe a very committed person. The people who have asked that question and been in long relationships, I find they have no hesitation in answering that.
Okay.
Well, you know, it sounds so. I'm going to say it from my perspective, and you brought the book up, The Millionaire Mind. The author is Thomas Stanley. He also wrote another book called You're reading The Millionaire Next Door. He has another one called The Millionaire Mind.
Yes, I'm reading Millionaire Next Door.
Right. In The Millionaire Mind, he dedicates quite a few, I think more than one chapter, where he did research on millionaire couples. And he said divorce rate amongst millionaire couples is extremely low. I think he said 2%. Don't quote me on that, but it's low. And he said the reason wasn't because of money, it was because of values. So when I take what you just said, Anita, it's like love is built on top of those values that those people bring to the table.
Yes.
If they already have those values, and if the money or the health was lost, they have enough, like their foundation is more than just love. And so bad feelings, bad health, like in the book The Millionaire Mind, he gives examples of couples who they were sleeping out of a car, they lost everything. Guy was dating, he was dating a woman, and he said, look, I'm building a business, so if we're going to go to the movies, I can only afford to take you to a matinee. Are you okay with that? And she was like, I'm fine. So he married that woman. What a story, a guy people don't know a lot about is John D. Rockefeller Sr. And they say he was the first billionaire here in the U.S., but people don't know how frugal he was. And his wife held the same values. They had several daughters, I think like three or four daughters at first. And every daughter, even though he had a ton of money, received hand-me-downs. They did not go out and buy new clothes for each child. And then when they had a son, the son took the hand-me-downs from his sisters. And there are pictures of him as a boy wearing a dress because they refused to spend all this money. And when it came time, they bought a bicycle. They bought one bike for five children, and they had to share. And they were already millionaires. They could have bought whatever they wanted. But it was those kind of values that he and his wife had held in common. So even when it came to a time he almost filed bankruptcy and lost everything, his wife was right there. So
right there. Cool. Ted, do me a favor and hold on for just a minute. I'm going to try to take one more call. Can I do that real quick?
Sure.
Thank you, my friend. All right. We have area code 407. 407, you are live and on the air. Go right ahead. 407. Going once, going twice.
Yeah, they're just listening.
All right. So, our ladies, are you still there?
Yes.
Yes, I'm still on the line.
Okay. Awesome. So, yeah. So going all the way back and everything, do you think that men, when you look at the title that we have for the topic, do you need more than love to create a great relationship? Do you think that men, I don't know that men look at it, because men generally, as a rule, are more logic based. As a rule, we're usually about, you know, there's an old saying that, you know, women fall in love, men walk in love. And for men, and I know for myself, and pretty much most men I've ever talked to, if the finances and everything ain't right, you know, bump the love. It's got to be right, because I know that I'm going to be taking on the majority of whatever it is that we do. I'm going to be taking care of the bills. You know, I'm going to be taking care of, I need to be able to take care of my wife. So do you think that love at all factors into what men are looking for? Maybe I'm phrasing the question wrong. Do you think that men kind of look at love as being part of it, or is it just like, yeah, my finances are ready, okay, so now I'm ready to marry, and love is just kind of like a distant afterthought? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it would be based on the individual.
Mm. What are your thoughts, Monica?
I think that for men, before smart men, you know, a man who's like for real, legitimately wanting to marry the right woman for him, not just any woman, because I'm supposed to be married and that's what I'm supposed to do. No, with the man who's, I feel the man who's legitimately looking for the woman that's right for him, he's going to make sure his finances are in place first. He's going to make sure he's, you know, established or whatever that means to him in his career before he takes on the responsibility of a wife and the responsibility of a family. But love should be, you know, it should be someone who he loves, not like an arranged marriage where, oh, this is what we're supposed to do. And like, it needs to be someone who loves. But before he falls in love, he's going to make sure his house, figuratively speaking, is in order first, and whatever that in order means to him.
Yeah, that's only smart. It isn't even wise to even think about, you know, a marriage situation if your finances are in disarray. If you're wondering, I mean, I don't know if there's really any sort of, you know, numerical number that you look at and say, once I hit this number, everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be copacetic.
Yeah, it's all relative.
But
so,
I do think that you have to understand the magnitude of what you are really taking on when you think about marriage. We get, you know, me and Ted, we did a show, I think it was one of our first shows, and I think you were the one that actually brought up the point that, you know, the whole idea of marriage and the whole idea of getting a ring and the whole, you know, fantasy behind it is really kind of a very new phenomenon. Because if you go back about 100 years, you know, marriage was about legacy. It was about royalty. It was, you know, hey, you got, you know, a whole bunch of livestock and a whole bunch of land and acreage, and I've got livestock. Let's put this together and let's make this happen. We can actually build an empire here. Only probably, I think, around the beginning of the 1900s, if I'm not mistaken, did Mary
no,
kind of take
it's
on this
a little
whole,
before that. So
was it before
Blair,
that?
I just,
okay, I know you more. I know you know more about it than I do.
Yeah,
1850,
about 1850 is about where it started to change. And it started to change because of a book written in 1819. The book is called La Belle. My French is bad, but La Belle Dame Sans Merci by a guy named John Keats. And he wrote it in 1819. It was a novel. It was a love story. And after people read this love story, it caught on and started to shape society and the culture. So before that, exactly like you said, Blair, if I own 100 acres and I have a son and you have a daughter and you own 100 acres, they're coming together. And then I'm going to have 200 acres, and then their children are going to maybe marry a child off to someone who has cattle, and they're going to have 200 acres and a cattle, and someone else is going to marry the kids off to someone who has a bottling, you know, makes Coca-Cola, and then they'll marry someone who makes a bottling company, and they'll have an empire. And they'll have generations of wealth building, and that has been lost because that book gave people a whole different idea about marriage and marrying for love. Before people came together, and it really was something that was bigger than love. The people loved one another. They depended on one another, except the idea of getting a divorce could, one, shame the family. Two, putting together 100 acres and 100 acres, you're breaking up a legacy. You're breaking up legacy building. So this is a very new phenomenon. And then you look at De Beers in the 1920s making the diamond a woman's best friend. So this is all
that's
recent phenomena.
Right.
And we're
a big one right there.
we're still experimenting. And you could say for thousands of years, the parents are the ones who influence who you would marry, which in some ways you can logically see that because your parents would have seen, let's say they were looking at two families, and they would say, that family, I'm against it because the father was a drunk or he cheated or, you know, they didn't have the best environment. This family is better, even though financially they're equal. We think it builds a better future, and you'll have the kind of economic wealth that will give you a great lifestyle. So we're trying something new. We're trying something very new, and we're stumbling with this.
Right. Because, you know, I've mentioned to a number of women, and I just kind of threw the question out there. I said, would you ever be open to the idea of an arranged marriage? And you would have acted like I asked them the strangest question, like, arranged marriage? You mean this? And it's like, well, that's kind of the whole concept of how marriage really was back then. It was about your family kind of made the decision and trumped any sort of love or any sort of feeling that you had for an individual. They basically said, here's what we're going to do. We have, and I don't know the names back then, we have the Johnsons and we have the Clarks. And the Johnsons and the Clarks are going to get together because now we're going to really have something. And that was how marriage was back then. And I don't necessarily know if it'll ever go back to that, you know, that whole model and template or whatever. But I do think there is something to be learned from that because, like you said, Ted, we've gotten way far away from that. I mean, we're way down the road away from the idea of marriage being about the idea of it being about legacy. Because now, like you said, most people are, you know, if you're not mentioning love and throwing roses off the balcony, people ain't really, they don't think that, you know, they don't think the love is there. And it's like, you know, but if you're doing that and you ain't got but $6 in your bank account, what are you building towards?
Or at least the plan to do it and the commitment to make it happen. But that's what Anita was talking about, the kind of values. And that's why I'm saying if those values of ambition and commitment, intelligence, whatever are the things that are necessary to build a legacy, work ethic, will people trust you? Are you likable? If none of that is there, then you put what are you putting love on top of? And it's like you're just depending on love to carry the show.
Right, right. Anita, are you still with us?
I am.
Okay, just want to make sure you haven't, you know, left us. All right, cool, cool. Just curious, Anita, you mentioned you're a doctor. What's your degree in?
My specialty is obstetrics and gynecology. So
okay.
I'm intimately involved in a lot of relationships in a most intimate way between people. So I've been in practice over 30 years, and I have a lot of experience on seeing what type of couples stay together and what type of couples don't stay together.
Okay, interesting. You, let me just ask you, and this is kind of a personal question, do you actually do coaching yourself?
I coach every day in my office with most patients coming in. I try to impart some insight to people at their various needs that they may have at the time.
Awesome. The reason I ask, and this is a personal question segue, I'm actually a licensed life coach, and I would love to just kind of talk with you. And, you know, I have individuals that once they kind of hit an apex, I actually pass them off to different individuals. I would love to talk with you, you know, once the show is done. So if you could inbox me at Blair Nash on social media, or I don't know if you're on social media, or my email address is nashlb@hotmail.com. I would love to talk with you and just kind of get your information, and maybe we can do some business together in the future.
That would be great.
Awesome.
Well,
cool.
And
Monica,
Anita,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Blair. Keep going.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to ask just two questions. How long have you been a practicing physician?
Approximately about 30 years.
All right, that's a long time. So that's enough time to have seen changes in the generations. So are you seeing a difference in young couples now with the idea of marriage and commitment than you did 20, 25 years ago?
That's a very interesting question, and I had wanted to put that in my answer. And I'll put it this way. Over the generations, love is different. So love between two different generations, I find it may be a little difficult because your values are different and what you see is different. So as you approach, and let me say it like this, maybe millennials versus baby boomers or those different types of persons, the values are different. So coming together with those values, lower class versus middle class, the various age differences and expectations are different. So just communication brings it together a little bit closer. And I think through great communication, you can find out if you're compatible, if you share the same values, if you don't share the same values.
Well, so that's perfect. Now, where I was coming from is that when you look at millennials specifically, many of them have been the children of divorced parents. So they may have they may not have the same idealism about marriage as, let's say, a baby boomer or even Generation X, because in the 90s there were a ton of women who just wanted to have the fairy tale wedding, and a lot of those weddings ended up in divorce, and they had debt of, you know, $25,000, $50,000, or $100,000. So a lot of these millennials are the children of those people. So I'm wondering, just from what you're seeing, is there some kind of fear of marriage, or do they have a bad taste, or some kind of confusion about, you know, how do we stay together? Because maybe they didn't have the greatest examples of families staying together.
Well, that is true, Ted. Sometimes I do my own research in my office. I ask different people different questions based on their age group. And I do find that the millennials, because where they are, their inability to afford homes, their own apartments, where they're coming from, their idea of love and relationships are very different from what I had when you could have the opportunity. You know, you most of us may have had it coming up. We had our own apartments at 24, and I find the millennials still staying home sometimes up to age 30 because they're just trying to establish themselves, completing their education, maybe staying at home in order to save money or help the family with the education and make it a little less expensive for the family putting out. It's very interesting. And I find that they don't think marriage is that important. They're more about just moving through the day, as I would say. They like to just move in through the day.
Do you think they're more about domestic partnerships, or are they just kind of like, I don't want to, I mean, where is their mindset as far as, do you find that they actually want relationships, or do they just not want the whole concept and model of marriage?
I find all generations want to be loved. It doesn't make a difference from 80 all the way down to the 20s. They want to have a relationship, a great relationship, and a lot like to have a family, and they want to be financially secure. But in terms of millennials being financially secure, they're really going towards their education. They're trying to build that. They found that their education is going to make them financially stable. So they tend to put off a lot of relationships to go ahead with financial betterment of themselves and even delay their childbearing into later years so they could be more financially stable.
Hmm. Very interesting.
Definitely.
Very interesting.
And you could also divide that among race. I practice in Queens, so there's various types of people, Middle Eastern people, Caribbean people, American people, and the way that they create their families are different. Their values are different. So their families are different.
Okay. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Monica, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here. Very interesting conversation. I like it.
All right. What are your thoughts? You got any because we're about to come to a close here in about the next 10 minutes and everything. Do you have any more thoughts, feedback, or anything?
I think it's interesting what Dr. Martin said as far as she's seeing people perhaps putting marriage and having kids off a little later. You know, I've read articles about that. I think it's true. For some people, some people will still just go jump right into it, but yeah.
I asked Dr. Martin what were her top five things that are important as far as relationship. As far as looking into marriage, what would you say would be your top five?
I would say a man's leadership abilities, a man's relationship with the Lord. Yeah, I mean, I need you to be a leader. If you are a hell of a leader, I will follow you all day. But be a leaderly, like be a for real leader. You know what I'm saying? Not just my chest, I'm a man.
Let me ask you a sub question. Can I be a leader and I don't have a job?
Can you be a leader and not have a job? You can. I would have to. Okay. You could be between jobs. Maybe you're doing an internship to get your job. I don't know what the situation is, but you can.
No, I'm saying you know I had a good job or let's say a decent job. I had a job, lost my job. I've been out of work for let's say 3 months. Am I still the leader?
Yeah, you can still be the leader. You said 3 months, not 3 years. So
No, if you had a work,
I'm saying,
you
know, for 3 years.
You
need
to reevaluate some things.
That was a little exaggerated. Sorry, guys. Okay, you say it's
you need
months,
to reevaluate some things if you had to work that long. So, yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, no.
I'm sorry. I interrupted your list. You was on the flow.
Okay.
First thing is the leadership.
All right.
Go ahead. Number
yeah,
two.
Yeah, leadership. Really, number one, we need to be your relationship with God. So then leadership, number two, I would say. Number three, how compatible we are. Finances is also a very important one in the sense of how financially educated are you?
Mm-hmm.
That's really important to me. Do you make a lot of money and spend a lot of money? Do you make little money and spend little? You know, how financially literate are you? That is super important to me.
Okay.
A mate that's very financially literate, and also or learning to be financially literate, because we're always learning, right? And also a person who's somewhat health conscious. You know, like I forget who mentioned it here on the call. You can replace. I think it was Dr. Martin. You can replace money, but you cannot replace your health. I mean,
right.
You being a doctor, you know how important a person's health is. I'm a former nurse, and I've seen the side effects of people because some who don't live healthy. They're having strokes, heart attacks, diabetes, and how debilitating these things are. So, if you're out here not taking care of yourself, eating garbage. I'm looking at down the road, I mean, it's a strong possibility you could have some type of chronic illness, and I'll be your wife and take care of you, but it's just, you know, maybe if you would have cared more about your health, it's possible that this could have been avoided, this bad health condition. So,
I want you to get to number four, but I'll just tell a quick story. That was kind of the situation with my grandfather. When I was, my grandfather, he passed in 08, but before he passed, my grandmother was saying, you know, hey, get yourself. And he was a slim man. He was 6'5". He was like 220. He was in, you know, by sight, he was in good shape. But he ate awful.
Mm-hmm.
He ate, you know, he would love hamburgers, love cheeseburgers, loved all the soda in the world. He also smoked a pipe, which is very prevalent back in the day. And my grandmother was, you know, said to him, like, you know, dude, you need to, you know, pull it together. I mean, when you're 20, you can kind of get away with that. Maybe even when you're 30, but when you start to get 50, 60, and kind of run next door, you got to be serious. And so, he started having problems. He died when he was 86, and he started having problems at about 62 years of. Yeah, but he started having problems at 62, and he never, you know, they thought, well, you know, he's gonna come back. He's gone, and he never recovered. He got worse and worse every year. I say that because what you're saying is very true. A lot of men out here need to really think hard about their life, their health, their longevity, et cetera, because I've seen it firsthand. It's one of the reasons why I'm, you know, I mean, you never know what can take you out of here, but I'm all about, you know, I drink, you know, I don't drink. I drink water. I eat salad all the time because these health issues, they're real. They're very real. So, yeah, I just wanted to put – I'll kind of add that in and everything, but go ahead. Number four.
Well, my number four was finances. You know, a person who manages their money well and someone who is doing their best to become financially educated. I'm learning to, you know, one thing is like I learned to put money to work for me, and it doesn't make you a bad person if you don't. But it's just now with the way inflation is versus your job raises. Let's be real; it's not set up for your average middle American to make it. So. You have to get outside of the box a little bit to decide what you can do to generate some extra income passively or investing with something. So, you know,
absolutely.
Yeah, my number four was finances.
All right. Got one more. Let's get one more in. Number five.
Well, number five was the health.
Oh, five was health. Okay, cool. I must have missed that. I'm sorry. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, so. Excellent. Well, Ted, do you have anything to add?
No. Do we want to take at least one more call? You ladies have been great. I said I wanted a woman to call, and we had two in a row, so that was perfect.
There you go. That's perfect.
All right,
that was good.
All right. We're going to try one more. Let's try area code 615. 615, you are live and on the air. 615. Going
just
once.
Want to listen.
Going twice. All right. I don't know where area code 615. I think that's, I don't know if it's Tennessee, Memphis, or what. I don't know what area that is and everything. I think that's 615, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll just keep listening to the show. All right. Well, let's we're kind of coming to the close of it, so we need to wrap things up a little bit. So, ladies, I greatly thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Martin. Dr. Martin,
yes.
Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. If you don't mind, just real quick, if you can give us about 15 seconds,
tell people where they can find you, and, you know, do you have a website or anything that's out there that we could, you know, that might help some of the listeners out here?
I'm in Hollis, New York. I own my own business, and I deliver babies at a Long Island Jewish Medical Center in New Hyde Park. And
nice.
Our website is Pap and a Snap. It's healthcare for the busy New York woman. So
oh,
we do our
so
annuals
cool.
in 30 minutes or less. And the website is called papinasnap.com. That's papinasnap.com. And that's my website.
Awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it really is, ain't it? That's awesome. Dr. Martin, thank you so much for calling in. Anytime
thank
you want to call back in, please feel more than free. Monica as well, thank you so much for your comments and your, you know, your input and everything. And
thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank
you.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
good night.
Thank you.
Good night. All right.
Everybody have a good one now.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. Ted, you there?
Yes, of course.
Awesome. Awesome.
Where would I go?
So, yeah. So, great show. And you want to give some closing thoughts?
You know, let's see if we can do two minutes with another caller. Let's just see.
Okay, we'll try. This is the second call that hasn't come through, so let's see if I can get to it. Hold on just a minute.
Some of them just want to listen.
We've got area code 407. 407, you're live and on the air.
Is that the one?
407?
No,
that's a different one.
That was 615, right?
Yeah, 407, going once, going twice. All right. Okay, so we get them all. So, okay, cool. So, yeah, that was an excellent show, man.
It was. And so the one question I didn't address is how do people know it's love, or really, like, what is love? Because Hollywood has done a great job of telling people and giving people images. You know, you could say it's advertising. One thing that advertising does is it repeats its message over and over, and Hollywood has done a great job of repeating the message of what love is. You know, it's a certain kind of music. It's roses. It's romantic dinners. It's, you know, it's boy meets girl, boy loses girl, then he gets her back. He does all these things that are romantic, except people really don't get to see what it actually took to make that relationship work, because in 90 minutes, you don't see how they went from hello, how are you, to this extraordinary love affair. And I think sometimes that may shape people's expectations. I know a woman who has a niece, and her niece is a teenager, and her niece had sex for the first time, and the woman I know, her niece said to her, hey, auntie, I was really disappointed. And she's like, why? Because basically the sex that she had for the first time wasn't like what she saw in the movies. It really missed the mark. So it was a guy who was her age, and clearly, you know, he didn't know how to make the romantic scene from the movies, so she was disappointed. And so I think just Hollywood has shaped people's idea of love. And what, you know, Anita, Dr. Martin was talking about is having these kinds of values that serve as the foundation, and love is built on top of that. But if you're looking for love to create the relationship, as soon as you have a list of I love you because you're handsome, or you're sexy, you're beautiful, you're smart, you're funny, you have great money, you take me here, as soon as maybe one of those or two of those things come off the list, then does that mean I no longer love you?
Right.
And I know people say they have unconditional love. I think that's a myth, and people really should stop saying it, because the first condition is you have to be a human being. And I don't want to sidetrack us too much, but there was a guy, Nikola Tesla. he wrote about this love affair he had with the pigeons. And I've told that to women, and they laughed and said, so he had sex with pigeons. But no, it was probably the closest to unconditional love, because he said he loved the pigeon and felt the pigeon depended on him as much as he depended on the pigeon.
Right.
He didn't have to have a human being for unconditional love. So we have conditions like you have to be a human, you have to be a male or a female, you have to be physically attractive, you have to be compatible. So if we're honest and stop saying, I love you unconditionally, and say, look, these are my conditions, maybe it's easier to get to love, and maybe honesty is one of those things that is often missing. But maybe the biggest thing I think is missing is people are not really sure what they're building together. So when you brought up the point of love is this new phenomena, and before your parents arranged it, they arranged something that was bigger than just the two of you. So you were building something together. And we've lost sight of that because Hollywood has sort of created blinders that all you need is love. And I'll stop right there.
Right. Yeah, all good stuff. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think the thing, and I've told people this before, if you ask somebody what is it about me that you love, and they start naming things that you do for them, that's a problem. Because
exactly.
First of all, love is supposed to be just a feeling. And when I ask and the reason why I ask the ladies about, you know, what are your top five lists. Generally, when I ask most women what their top five lists are, you'd be amazed at the fact that most of them don't know. You know, you say, well, what's the top five things that are most important? I mean, right now. And a lot of them have no clue. They, you know, like, I want someone that makes good money. So, well, what happens if he doesn't? You know, you're not always going to be paid in this world. You know, this is a different society we live in. Yeah. I mean, for the most part, you need to have a man who's about his business and handling his business. But if he's not, that doesn't mean that he's shrinking down to you. It should not be. That shouldn't be how it goes. So, yeah.
Right.
You're absolutely right. So, like I said, we're coming to the close of the show. Any shout-outs or any thoughts, last thoughts you want to have, Ted, before we shut it down?
No. Hey, thank you for all the listeners. Thank you for the callers. You know, we definitely couldn't have done this without you. And I love that our caller and the kind of engagement that we're getting from people is just progressively getting better. So, I like the engagement that you had with Dr. Martin. Those are the kinds of value that I think we can add to our listeners and our callers, that, you know, there's something here beyond just people talking and engaging and educating one another. So there may be some other ways we can all make something happen. So
absolutely. So thank you, everyone. Again, like Ted said, thanks everyone for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. We will be back. We will be back next week with another great show. Until then, have an awesome week and God bless.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.